This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is how to keep it together when everything's falling apart.
How many of us have ever been in a situation where something that means a great deal to us was in jeopardy? It may have been your job, and if your job is in jeopardy, a lot of other stuff is in jeopardy, isn't it? You may lose your house, you may lose your car. I'm not going to ask you how many of you have ever had a car repossessed. But when it's in jeopardy, you don't have the ability to fix it on your own. It may be a relationship, it may be a marriage. And that situation is going toward critical, and you do everything that you know how to do, but you can't seem to fix it. It may be your health. And, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you that bad report and you can't do a thing in yourself to change it. And it goes toward critical and the situation gets worse and worse and worse. You are at a crisis point in your life. Now, let me tell you something. You as Christians will face crises. You will face times in your life when something you highly value is threatened, is in jeopardy. But here's the good news. God is there in the crisis. Amen? Amen? God is there in the crisis of your life. But understand this. When you are facing a crisis situation, your future is on the line. The decisions that you make in the midst of a crisis will determine the future course of your life. When you are facing a crisis situation, the pressure is on you. And let me just tell you, the devil will always be there trying to get you to make a dumb decision. I know I can ask this question. How many of you have ever been facing a crisis and trying to get out of it? You made a decision that you had to look back on later and say, that was the dumbest thing I could have thought of. How many of you? Amen. You see, the crisis brings you to a place where how you respond is going to determine the course your life takes, whether you go up or whether you go down. Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In other words, if you do not know how to respond to a crisis in your life, instead of being victorious over that crisis the way Jesus intends for all of his people to be, instead of being victorious over that crisis, you may go down in flames to defeat, and the course of your life may be turned into a negative direction because you didn't know how to respond. Well, today, we want to learn from the story of a man who faced a major crisis in his life, and he responded to it in a way that brought him victory in that crisis. Go over to Luke chapter 8. Start with verse 41. I'm just going to read Luke 8, 41 and 42, and then 49 through 56. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 41. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. While he," that is Jesus, "was still speaking," this is verse 49, "while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well.' when he came into the house. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all went and all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now, you want to talk about a crisis in somebody's life. Those of you who are parents, can't you put yourself in this man's place? Here is his only child, his beloved daughter, and she's dying, and he is absolutely helpless. Nothing he can do. I'm sure that he did everything he could. He probably had 15 doctors on the case, but they couldn't heal her. And finally, this man came to Jesus. We want to focus on three words in this account that will help us understand what this man was doing when he came to Jesus. And that first word is, he came. Understand, many times, even as Christians, when we are facing a challenge, facing even a crisis, coming to God may not be the first thing we do. How many of us have ever had a time in our lives when we were facing a challenging situation, even a crisis, and we did other things before we broke down and prayed? Anybody? We tried all kinds of stuff. Amen. Let me show you an example. Go over to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Look at an example of a man who ought to have known better, but instead of coming to God, he tried something else. Look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, starting with verse 12. "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign." Do you see it? King Asa got some kind of disease in his feet. Instead of going first to God, he went to the physicians. And do you see how the next verse starts? So. What does that mean? As a result, because he did not come to God first, but went to the doctor first, what happened? He died. Amen? He died. The mistake he made was not going to the doctor. There is nothing wrong with doctors. God uses doctors. Amen? If you are sick, you don't need to be staying away from the doctor unless God specifically tells you to. But before you go, you need to consult God. You need to come to God. Understand, Jairus came to Jesus, but Jesus was not his first choice. See, I noticed something in the account. He didn't come to Jesus until his daughter was on the point of death. You know what that probably means? When she first got sick, he tried everything else he could think of before he finally came to Jesus. Because understand, this was a man who was high up. Jesus, you know, who is this Jesus? Just some preacher walking around trying to build a crowd. But Jairus, he's the ruler of the synagogue. He's got some pride. And for him to break down and go to Jesus took a lot. Years ago, when I was living in Colorado, I went to an Easter sunrise service. And it was held out in this field. And there was a little road that led up to the place. And it turned out that with all the cars, you couldn't go forward. You had, you know, when it was over, you had to back out. And I got out of my car, and a woman came up to me and said, "Look, I need to back my car out and I can't do it. Would you back my car out for me?" Now, don't take offense, ladies, but I thought it was interesting. She didn't know me from Adam. All she knew was I was a man. And so she figured, if I'm a man, I'm competent to back her car out. Turns out she was right. Amen. But here's the thing I want to ask you, men. How many of you, if you were feeling kind of shaky on backing that car up, how many of you would see another man standing there and say, "Would you back my car up for me?" How many of you would do that? Yeah. You won't even ask for directions. Amen. Now, see, man, I know us. We'd run that car into a tree before we'd ask somebody else to back it up for us. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, see, that's the way Jairus was. Jairus was the religious professional. And before he's going to go to this preacher that hadn't even been to seminary, man, he had a long way to go. His pride was standing in the way. But understand something. When you get to the point of the crisis, you'll do what you need to do. He had to put his pride behind him. In other words, and here's the point I want you to get, Jairus broke through every obstacle to fervently call on God. He broke through every obstacle in his life. Now, how many of us have some obstacles to coming to Jesus when we face a crisis? Isn't that right? Some of us have a sin obstacle. We've been so deep in sin, we've done so many things, and the crisis comes and we feel like, man, I'd feel like a hypocrite going to God. Guess what? God says, "Come on. Come, I know who you are. I know what you've done. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you." Come on. Don't let that stand in the way. For some of it is our pride. We feel like we want to be able to handle it ourselves. And I know, men, we got that disease. Amen. Praise God. For some of us, it's just plain laziness. Now, let me see if I can get any hands on this one. Are there any of us here that have ever had something going on in our lives, some kind of situation that was maybe even building up to a crisis, and we sat down and watched TV instead of getting on our knees before God? Any of us? Amen. Understand this. You need to overcome whatever would stand in the way and come to God. So number one, when you face a challenge in your life, when you face a difficult situation in your life, the number one priority, the first thing you do is, I need to come to Jesus. Here's the second word that I want us to see. Looking at Luke chapter 8, verse 41 again. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet." Falls down at the feet of Jesus. What does that tell you about Jairus? The man was desperate. He was desperate. That was the only thing that would have brought him to that point. He was desperate. Understand this. Sometimes God needs to let us get desperate before he can move in our lives. You see, when you get desperate, your pride goes out the window. Isn't that right? When the situation gets critical enough, that pride will come right off. You got to do what needs to be done. And if you let pride stand in the way, you're a fool. So you need to let the pride go. Jairus didn't come as a religious leader or a ruler of the synagogue. He was just a grieving father looking for help for his child. You see, desperation stripped all that stuff away. And that's why God sometimes has to bring us to the point of desperation to get all the mess out of the way so that we will be willing to come to him. Understand this. Desperation will bring you face to face with a major life decision, and it will force you to choose whether you're going to draw nearer to God or go farther away from him. I need three people up here right quick. Let me illustrate this. Now, I want you to stand over there. Tony, you stand right here in the middle. You go right over there. Okay. Let me tell you who the characters are in our little play here. Dana, you're God. Ray is what I call the D's. depression, desperation, discouragement. Tony is the crisis. Tony's the crisis. Now watch this. Here you are. You're just walking along in life, and suddenly you see the crisis up ahead. And you try to figure out a way to get around the crisis. You can't get around it. And you get closer and closer to the crisis situation. And the thing is getting critical. I mean, this thing is either going to go one way or the other. And what happens? You are now faced with a choice because you cannot move the crisis. See why I had Tony be the crisis? Amen. You can't move it. You've done everything you can to move the crisis. And so what? You got a choice. At this point, the only way you're going to go forward is you're either going to have to turn to the right toward desperation, despair, discouragement, and depression, or you're going to have to turn to the other side toward God. Amen? You see, the crisis forces you to make a choice. You've been kind of drifting along and just doing your own thing, but suddenly, when you come up to the crisis, you got to choose. Am I going to go off into discouragement and depression and just being down? Or am I going to do what it takes to seek out God in the middle of my crisis? Amen? Thank you, Cast. Appreciate it. Amen. Sometimes God will let it get to the point where we get desperate enough to change. Lord, do what it takes so that you can make me victorious over the crises of my life. Here's the third word I want you to see. In verse 41 again, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. Jairus got at the feet of Jesus and begged him, said, Lord, please do this for me. Now, we can't go to the feet physically of Jesus. What do? We go down on our knees in prayer. Amen? For us, what Jairus did is the equivalent of calling out to God in prayer. Go over to James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says that he begged him. Well, let me show you what that looks like within the context of prayer. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Then he gives an example, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. You see, it's saying Elijah wasn't anything special. He was just like us. What was the difference? He prayed fervently before the Lord. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Jairus got down on his face before Jesus and begged him, Lord, I need you. If you don't do it, it won't get done. Sometimes we got to get on our face before God. Sometimes those little now I lay me down to sleep prayers are not going to make it. Sometimes we got to cry out in the name of Jesus, Lord, if you don't do it, I'm going down. I'm putting myself in your hands. Lord, I stretch myself out before you. You know Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in how much? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now let me tell you something. The devil will do everything he can to discourage you praying. He will show you how bad the situation is. He'll say, this hasn't changed. You've been trying everything you knew. Why even try to pray about this? Don't get discouraged by how bad your situation looks so that you stop praying. In Luke 18:1, Jesus was telling a parable. This is what it says. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. However bad your crisis may seem, however deep it may be, however it seems that you have no idea where an answer may come from. The one thing that you can do and the one thing that you must do is keep on praying. Never give up on prayer. Never step back from prayer and say, oh, it's not doing any good. Oh, it's not working for me. Remember what happened to Jairus. He came to Jesus, asked Jesus for help. And even as he was asking, the word came and said, she's dead. She's already dead. Don't worry the master anymore. But what did Jesus say? If you just believe, she's going to be all right. Even if your situation looks dead, God can still resurrect it. Amen? So never give up on prayer. Go back over to Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. You see, even when we get to the point where it seems like it's all over, even when we get to the point where the little girl is dead, God can still bring her back. He can still correct the situation. And what he's asking of us is never give up hope. Never give up hope. Never stop praying. Never stop believing that God loves you. He's on your side. And in the time when it seems like it's all over, he still loves you. And you can still call on him. Go over to John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is the time when Jesus was teaching the great multitude. And it came time to feed them because they were fainting for lack of food. And Jesus says they need to be fed. Look at what happened. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, that's what I want you to see. Jesus turned to Philip and said, Philip, where are we going to get enough food for this multitude of people? And Philip is going, Lord, I don't know. You know, the giant is closed. Amen. But it said Jesus said it only to test Philip's faith, because Jesus already knew how he was going to handle the situation. He knew there would be somebody there with just a little food, and he would take those loaves and fishes, and he would break them, and there would be enough to feed the multitude. He already knew what he was going to do. You're facing a crisis in your life. You can't see how in the world this thing is going to come out in your favor. It seems like it's going to go down to death and destruction for your dreams, for your hope. Whatever it is, you're going to lose the house, the car, the job, the relationship you want so much. Seems like you don't have a hope, but Jesus already knows what he's going to do about it if you just keep trusting him. If you just keep hoping in him, don't lose heart, don't lose hope. He already has a plan to take you through that situation. But understand, even when things seem absolutely dead, God already knows what he's going to do. Here's the third thing that we can learn from Jairus. Jairus was faithful to do what Jesus commanded him to do. Look at what the first thing they did was. After all of this happened, they came and said, she's dead. Jesus said, only believe. Take me to her. What did they do? All right, Jesus. They said she's dead, but come on. And then he got to the house, and there was a whole crowd in the house wailing and moaning because this beloved child had died. Jesus turns to them and said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And it says they laughed him to scorn. And Jesus is saying, Jairus, I want you to keep on believing even though they say she's dead. Put all these people out. Get them out of here. And what did Jairus have to do? He had to obey. And then Jesus said, I'm just going to take Peter, James, and John, and you, mother, and you, father, you come in here. Now, what I want you to do is I just want you to keep on believing. Just keep believing. And they did the best they could. Amen. And he spoke to the child, and she raised up. It says the parents were astonished. But you see, they had to obey what he told them to do. What if when the report came and said that she was dead, Jairus had turned to Jesus and said, it's all over. I'm sorry I ever came to you. I should have known it wouldn't have worked in the first place. I'm going home. What if he had done that? The girl would have been dead. You see, in order for the miracle to happen, he had to do what Jesus told him to do. In the face of the jeers of the crowd, he still had to do what Jesus told him to do. In the face of the facts, the girl was dead. He still had to do what Jesus told him to do. Even in the face of overwhelming grief, he had to make the choice. I'm going to obey what God is telling me to do, even though I don't understand it. You're having really a bad time. You're in the D's and you're not feeling it. And you know God is saying you need to get up and get on to church and get refreshed in me. You know what you need to do? Get on up and go. That's step number one. Amen? You're facing a financial crisis in your life. And you know that the Word of God has told you that the way that God's going to bless you is as you give generously with a cheerful heart. And at the same time, you're saying, but God, my problem is I don't have enough now. You need to get up and do what God told you to do. Because that's step number one. Understand, God always knows what he's going to do. He always has a plan. And that plan goes step by step by step by step. And the time when he's going to fix your problem may be step number seven. But you don't get to step number seven until you take step number one. You're sitting there looking, saying, I don't see how this step's going to really help God. And God is saying, I already know what I'm going to do. You take step number one, and that's going to bring you into contact with somebody that will give you favor. And they will give you what you need, and you didn't even see it coming because that's the way I planned it out. Or you take step number one, that's going to lead you to step number two and to step number three. And at step number three, somebody's going to hear about your situation. And they went through something similar 5 years ago, and they're going to be able to give you just exactly the counsel you need to take you through the rest of this situation victoriously. You see, you don't know how he's got it laid out. All you know is he's telling you to do what he's telling you to do right now. And if you will take step number one and take step number two, somewhere along the line, he's got the answer waiting for you. Here's my message to you this morning, saints. You as a Christian are going to face some crises in your life. You're going to face some dark and difficult times in your life. You are going to have situations in your life where you can't see any way out. But God is there with you. And if you will call upon him, and if you will refuse to give up hope when the devil is whispering in your ear how bad it is and it's going to get worse, and if you will be obedient to do the things that God has told you to do, he will bring you through your crisis. You will be victorious because the word says we will be more than conquerors through him who loved us.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.